one way to solve that problem is to do Liban Kal. Is there anything you could do practically if there's no possibility of doing Liban Kal? Like Liban Kal would ruin it, and you can't get the food out of the cracks. Again, you don't know that anything's there, but like we saw, we're in Choshesh that there is. So perhaps you can soak it in bleach or something like that until you're 100% confident that if there is any food in this crack, it would be nifsal. Take a look if you want on that topic in Dirshu footnote 23. Another topic, when you're doing Hagalah, so unlike Tvila, you could do Hagalah l'chatzayin, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Yud Aleph. So if it's a big, long thing, it doesn't fit in the pot at once, you could do it in two steps. And that's because we don't really care about, we don't really care that it be in at once. It's not like Tvila's Kalim. But what we do care about is that the entire thing go in, you know, be in the boiling hot water. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tafnun Beis Asif Dalet that if you're, let's say, koshering using pliers, right, most people can't stick their hands into boiling hot water. So one method is to hold it with the pliers. So then you'd have to do it and then take it out and then move the location of the pliers and then insert it a second time. Or, for example, if you're koshering your microwave, we'll talk about later whether you can or can't do that, but let's say you think you can be makel to kosher the microwave, and not only that, but you also think you could be makel to kosher the glass of the microwave, the tray, which is a much bigger chiddush. So, and you're using the method of boiling water with a cup, so you have to make sure that you do it, and then you move the cup, and then you do it a second time. Because otherwise you will not have koshered the part of the tray that the glass is sitting on top of. And likewise, that's why the Mishnah Berurah recommends that it's better to use a basket than to use pliers, because when you use baskets, then you don't have to worry about the doing it twice in the parts that were being held. Obviously, when you're using a basket also, you have to make sure that you don't stick so many things in onto the basket at once that part of it does not get covered with water. And here, as the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Gimel, we're a little more machmir than we are for Tefillas Kelim. Technically speaking, for Tefillas Kelim, as we saw, all you really need is that there be moisture here, right? That's why if you wet your hands beforehand and you hold on to it, at least with a Dibuk Beinoni, Pashup Shad is that should be just fine. Why? Because there will still be some moisture as long as you only have a Dibuk Beinoni. But when it comes to koshering, we need Roschin to be maflet the tam. And therefore, if there are no Geyazabazah, even if there is moisture, we're concerned that that would prevent sufficient exposure to the water. So that's why even when you're using a basket, let's say you're doing silverware, you don't want to put the silverware into the basket, but rather at the beginning, rather you put the basket in and you drop the silverware in one at a time, and that would solve that problem. Yeah?
Which moisture are we getting to?
It's not enough to just say that there was some moisture. It needs to be surrounded by roschen to be confident that it's maflet the blios in the kalim.
So we're saying if it was wet before it's a problem?
I'm sorry?
If you have clear it's wet and you put it in, it's a problem?
No, that's not a problem.
What were you saying, that wet moisture was from?
When it comes to tefillas kalim, mm-hmm. If you wipe your hands beforehand and then you hold on to the clay and it's a dibuk benoni, the pashup shot is that's sufficient. Even though you were holding on to it while you did the Tefillas Kelim. Because since your hands were wet, and therefore the water on your hands is mischaber to the water in the mikvah, and that's good enough. You wouldn't say that for Hechsher Kelim. Now we saw even for Tefillas Kelim there in Machmirim, but certainly not for Hechsher Kelim, Mikra Adin, that could be a problem. Right? Okay. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Sivvav, Kli Gadol, Sheinu Yachal Achniso L'toch Kli Acher, Machmas Godlo, La Yose Safa Lefiv, Betit, Kedei Shiesmali Heitev, V'yagia Mayim Besfaso. So this is the Gemara that told us the Rav Akavia's brilliant solution of making a Safa. Sounds like he took a... Right, the question is like this. How do you kasher pots? A little pot? Very simple. You do Hagala by putting the little pot into a bigger pot. What if you don't have a bigger pot? This is your biggest pot. So how do you do Hagala in your biggest pot? So Rav Akavia said, oh, I have a great idea. We're going to go ahead. We're going to surround it with dough. Right, we talked about this before. And that will sort of raise the level of the pot. And that will be our solution. So that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. And then it says... Yikach Evan Rosachas. Oh, Lapid Eish. This is when Kashrin gets fun. Lapid Eish. V'yashlichenu letocho ba'odo roseach. Mitochkach yartichu hamayim yoser v'yalu al sfaso. So you can't just put in a cold stone. That will decrease the temperature. Now, what's interesting is, it doesn't say the pshat is that just causes it to boil over because it's full, but rather sounds like by putting this hot stone in, so you're increasing the heat, which causes it to more furiously boil, which will cause it to boil over, and that works as well. So basically, this is another Eitzah, other than the one mentioned in the Gemara, a way to kasher a pot that can't fit into another pot, to use this this hot stone and throw it in. Now, the Ritva actually objects to this. The Ritva Psachim says it doesn't work. Because if it did work, the Gemara would have suggested it. The Gemara sounds like Rav Akavia's pshat is so brilliant. And there's a much simpler solution. Now, why wouldn't it work? So perhaps because it only overflows for an instant and we need it to be more sustained. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin that this works, is it? States in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is in fact the more common way to do it. Nobody, I've never heard of anybody making a gedanfa. The way usually you kasher a big pot is by putting in the hot stone. And the truth is, like we said, the way the Shulchan Aruch actually presents it is not so much because of overflowing, but mitol kach yartichu hamayim yoser v'yalu al sfaso. So I mentioned that, I don't know if I mentioned it, mentioned some of you, but an easier way to do this practically is instead of, you know, using a hot stone, which is hard to deal with, you can take a smaller pot, let's say a small saucepan, and boil water in it, and then dip it into the bigger pot. It's like a controlled overflow, since it has its own handle. It's easier than, like, taking pliers and dropping a hot stone into the bigger pot. So that's another way to do it. So I once was schmoozing with a mashgiach from the OU, and we were talking about how they kosher this plant. So this is a plant with, I don't know, a 5,000-gallon pot. So doing a... you don't even actually, like, pour it out or, like, ladle it out into the pot, and out of the pot are pipes, right? How do you empty the pot? You know, you open up the pipe and it goes out the side or the bottom, I don't know. So anyway, so I asked him, how do you kosher it? Do you really, like, take a Evan Lubenis and drop it in with a crane, you know? So he said, no, the pot is on swivels. In other words, I guess there is some movement, you know, it's attached to pipes. And they just shake it around. In other words, that will cause overflow, which is interesting. In other words, it's basically saying, look, once you can, we're not tied, we don't paskin like that Ritva, and we're not tied to the examples of the Gemara, and all we need to do is figure out a way to cause it to overflow, then this also works. So I was actually curious. I wanted to ask Rabbi Willig this question also, but I he ran out today before I had a chance to ask him. But, you know, why then do you need to bother even with the Evan Lubenes or putting in the other part? Why can't you just take a spoon and, you know, okay, wait till it's hot. And as you wait for it, it's boiling. And then you just, like, stir the water. And if you stir it that way, it'll, if the pot's full and you start stirring it quickly, it will overflow. I don't know why anybody has to bother with any of these things. Maybe you'll say, okay, you're not concerned that it will overflow on every part of the lip. I don't know. I would think that's much more effective than even what the OU does. And much easier as well. So I'm not sure, but the pashtus is that that should work. In other words, we're not limited to the Eitzah and the Gemara. Yeah.
So this doesn't work with the washing machine on earth, though? Because it sounds like it's not based on overflowing.
No, no. Oh, no, you're right. Well, that's, I don't think that's a problem. In other words, that's how the Evan Milubenes works. But l'chora, as long as it overflows while the water is still roschen, it should work. And we're not worried about it being just a minute, just a second, because like we mentioned yesterday, Mikra, didn't we really paskin, that you don't need to be shalatachtav. Maybe it's nice to be machmir, but l'maisa we're makel even if it's 1 second, and that should be good enough, right? So why do you? So there should be a much easier etza. Okay, so all this relates to kashering the inside of the pot. But what about the outside of the pot? So it seems from all the discussions that we've seen that you don't have to worry about the outside of the pot, right? That's why the gedanfa, for example, works, right? We don't even say in the case when you're using that gedanfa, it's not even overflowing at all. It overflows above the lip to kasha the lip, but it stays within the pot. So why aren't we worried about the outside of the pot? So one possibility is there's hagala. Hagala also works for the blios, but that's not so simple, because we talked about in Siman Tzadi Beis that, for example, where you have a tipas chalav that fell on the outside of the pot, we say that even in the case where the food is kosher, you still have to kosher the outside of the pot, right? The pot's still treif. Unless you say, well, that's different. Hagalah, we say all blios are removed. But that's not hagalah, so in that case, we are concerned that blios remain on the outside of the pot. Now, the Magen Avraham over here, again in Tafnun Beis, quotes the Maril that writes, Imhu kli sheshavim imo roschen. In other words, this is a small pot that you basically use as a ladle. So then, you can't just, you'd have to put it into the inner pot. In other words, when the tashmish of the pot is to use the outside of the walls, so then we paskin that you can't just do this gedanfa or even the lubenis or the like. You actually have to immerse the smaller pot into the bigger pot, because that's where the way the tashmish is. So you see from there that we certainly do not assume that hagala on the inside of the pot will help for the outside of the pot. So maybe the pshat in the kula is more simple, that we assume that if anything, either it's going to come out when you do hagala, and if it doesn't come out during hagala, it's not going to come out later. So therefore, if you actually use the outside of the pot, right, like you use your little pot as a ladle, so then you'll need to do hagala on the inside and the outside. Because if you just do hagala on the inside of the pot, maybe blios remain on the outside of the pot, outer surface walls. But if you never use your pot that way, you just use your pot the normal way, so then we'll say that it's enough to just do regular hagala. And yeah, well, what about a counter? We're going to talk about counters very soon. So that seems to be what we paskin. So if you take a look at the Pesachei Tshuva, back in Tzadi Beis Sif Katan Gimel, he writes that if you want to do Hagala on a Kedera Mateches, where, let's say, something fell on the outside, so then you do need to insert it. And it doesn't just help to do on the inside. And he quotes that Magen Avram, Tafnun Basif Kan Yudalf, that we just quoted. In other words, the Pesachei Tshuva was assuming that this Magen Avram, this Maril, means that Hagala never works when Nafla Tipa Mibachot. Not the way I understood it. In which case, you have to say that the reason why usually you don't need it to the outside is because, generally speaking, we're not choshesh that any food ever fell from the outside. So menastam, all you need to do is hagala from the inside. But anytime you know that there were blios from the outside, like tipas chalav mibachotz, so then it's not enough to just do hagala from the inside. You need to do hagala from the outside. Just menastam, we're not choshesh for that. That seems to be the view of the Pesachei Tshuva. The Chazon Ish, however, Yutes Vav, understood more along the lines of the way that I said. And therefore, he says, look, from the Sugya of Kedanfa, you see, you don't have to be Choshesh for stuff from the outside. He only says that the Maril will accept, because when the Tashmish Kavua of the Kli is from the outside, so then it's Chamer Yoser, Mibli Al Yidei Tipas Chalav, or a case where a pot occasionally overflows, right? You know, the difficulty with the Pesachei Tshuva is like this. We all know that pots overflow all the time. And the halacha is that when you buy a pot from a guy, it doesn't say that you need to kasher it in a bigger pot. It just says you do the gedanfa. And why wouldn't you have to be choshesh that it overflowed even once? Right, that's pretty normal. Maybe well, Tashmisho, I don't know. But that's why the Chazon Ish disagrees, and he says the only time will be machmir is where that's the way it's used, like in the Maril's case, where you use your small pot as a ladle, but otherwise you could be mako. This relates to the topic of handles as well, right? Do you have to kasher... you have to kasher handles. So really, there's two sugyos about handles. But you know what? Let me just do two small points before we get to handles, because I don't want to forget them. Number one is just a cute point. The Beis Yosef in Tafnun Beisif Katan Hay talks about what about things like Chamei Tveria. How much do you, let's say it's Roschen, but it's boiling water, but it's not boiled through a fire. So, Pasha, if you would have asked me, I would have said, okay, boiling is boiling. If boiling is effective, it works. So when is this a Shaila? Can you use boiling water from a induction heater? Or from microwave, or the like, exactly. So what's the halacha? Right, induction heaters don't have heat. They boil the water, but without heat. So it's very interesting. It sounds like this is a machlokas. And we are machmir because we think that you do need heat, at least many poskim are machmir, because you need fire. You need fire. Well, no. The pasuk is telling me to go polo kach polto.
Libun.
Libun. Okay, that's fire. That also might be temperature.
But is that shita assuming that they would go in, it's just harder to get them out?
So the question is, what's the metzias that explains this? I don't know. You know, I would have assumed that boiling water is boiling water, right? Doesn't really matter in terms of the effectiveness of removing blios. Maybe, again, if you sort of take a Chazon Ish type of approach and say, this is a versakasov, and this is what's needed, and the Torah, like Rabbi was saying, is described in a case where the source was hot water, then it should be okay. Now,
if the blios would not be a...
The Ritva writes in Psachim Mem Alpha Mem Aleph that Chamei Tveria doesn't work. It's interestingly enough, even on the tzad that it's told us Eish. Right? I thought, right? Remember, we have that discussion in the Gemara, you know, where Chamei Tveria heated up from the fires of Gehenna or not. So I would have thought, as long as it's if you held that Chame Tveria told the Seishin, for sure it would work. But he says maybe not. I don't know. Maybe he thinks you need more, like really Kabo Lo Kach Polto. Has the heat, the water has to be heated in a similar manner? I don't know. But this, as I said, this Shaila could come up. Another straightforward question is, what about Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Ha'esh? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Tafnan Aleph Siv Gimel, Sakinin Magilin B'Kli Rishon Mutarin, B'Kli Rishon Nikra Sher Ticho Bomaim Al Ha'esh, Afilu Eina At Al Ha'esh, Rak She'odenu Roseach. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that you still need Mala and Resicha, meaning so you don't need it to be Al Ha'esh. You might have said, like Kabolo Kach Polto, right? In light of what we just said. Again, this is going to go back to the question that we keep on coming back to. How much do we take Kabolo Lo Kach Polto literally, or how much do we see it as Dargos? But you might have thought that just like the Tashmish was Kli Rishon Al Ha'esh, so too the Hagolah is to be Kli Rishon Al Ha'esh. So we don't say that. We say that even though the Tashmish was Kli Rishon Al Gabe Ha'esh, the Hagolah works even in Shalal Gabe Ha'esh, as long as you have, the Mishnah Berurah says, as long as you have Roschen. The truth is that if you look at the Beis Yosef, who learns this out from Shabbos, it's not even clear you would need Roschen. We mentioned this yesterday. Take a look at the Magen Avraham, Sifkan Zion. Doesn't sound like that Levushei Shrad that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Happens to be that usually when you take the pot off the fire, it stops boiling very quickly. So if you want to be machmer for the Mishnah Berurah, it's hard to do this, though. If we're talking about those wonderful cast iron pots that we talked about yesterday, they get so hot that they could keep it boiling for a little longer even after you take it off the fire. Similar Shaila comes up for Eroy. Anyway, we'll talk about that when we get there. If you think you need Roschen. Fine. Okay. So, what about the handle? So this comes up in Sif Yud Beis. And there are really two sugyas and shas that handle with handles. Oh. So, tell I'm tired. So, number one is Zbachim Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, which we've already talked about a lot. That was the sugya of, do we say, Bishal B'Mitzis Kli, do you need Marika B'Shtitha B'Kola Kli? And we say, only for Kadshim, not for Truma. And as we've already discussed, there's a big machlokas Rishonim, how to understand this and what this tells us about Blios traveling and Nagal and the like. So, we find three major explanations of this Gemara. Again, we've done this already, so we'll just go through it quickly from the Hagala perspective. Number one is the Rashba, Natar Sabayis, and he says that it's only by Truma where we're Megal, that Bishal B'Mitzas Kli, you don't need Hagala B'Kala Kli. But Chulin, you do need Hakshir B'Kala Kli. And therefore, if you're Mevashal Isser B'Mitzaso, we assume that the Blios are Mefapeh B'Kulo, and Hagala b'miktsaso does not work. Beis Yosef and Kuf Chaf Aleph says that's also the view of the Rosh in Avodah Zarah. That's Havana number one. Havana number two is the Ra'ah. And the Tur seems to paskin like this Ra'ah. The Shach thinks maybe even the Rosh agrees to this. It's not so clear. But he says no. That Hachshir b'miktsas kli is okay. Why should that be? Don't the Blios travel? Yeah, sure they travel, but Kabolo Kach Polto. So, if the Blios got to the top of the pot, or the top of the spoon through traveling, so they'll leave through traveling. That's the view of the Ra'ah. For Liban and Achanami, it won't work. If I would have to do Liban on the whole Kli, because Liban burns out the Blios where they are. So if I use this pot, and I only use the bottom half of the pot for Hagala, I only have to do Hagala in the bottom half of the pot. But if I wanted a kasher through Liban, then I would need to heat up the whole pot.
Good. Are you talking about Chatzan, or are you just saying you just do part of the pot and that's it, and you're good?
Only part of the pot. If for Hagala, good enough. However it went in, that's the way it'll go out. So if they spread, The first time, they'll spread the second time. Whoever heard of one-way traveling blios?
That's against the Magen Avraham.
Oh, okay. Good. We're still in the Aradeya. Now both the Rashba and the Ra'ah, though, assume that blios travel. We saw the Shach, Simon Kufchaf Aleph Sivkat Yud Zayin, and we saw it also earlier, though he didn't really explain himself fully, that no, maybe by Bishol does not cause blios to travel, to spread. Only Eish, we say, Chamek Tasulchan Kulo, in a way that would cause the blios to travel. And therefore, you would only have to kasher the kli, part of the kli that touched the food. Again, not because of Kabbalah Kachpalto, like the Ra'ah said, but because the blios are only going to be in the part of the kli where the food, where it came in contact with, when it's just through Bishol. That's why we saw there's a difference between the spoon, which is just Bishol, versus the pot, which is exposed to Eish. That's how the Shach was Miyashev, the Sefer Atruma, right, that we saw in Simon Sadi Dala. It was fine.
But here also there's Ort, no? So it would work.
Well, it depends. That's the question. Depends how it was, right? If we're talking about a spoon, you dipped your spoon into into a pot halfway. The spoon only went in this far to Isser, let's say, or Chametz, or the like. So you'd only have to do Hagala on the spoon up till here. Not because Kabbalah Koch Polto, like the Ra'ah said, but because the blios are only on this bottom half. So that's good enough. So how do we paskin? So the Mechaber paskins like the Rashba. The Ramah seems to paskin like the Ra'ah. The Shach says maybe paskins like the Marikatz. The Shach paskins like we said, the Marikatz, that Bishol B'miktsas Kli is not Mifapeh B'chola Kli, and that's Dafka Bishol, not Sli. The Magen Avraham, who assumes that Blios are Mifapeh, but are not Maflet, like we already said, seems to assume like the Rashba, right? Okay. The Mishnah Berurah, Siman Sifkat and Samach Tes, writes that Ro Poskim hold like the Ramah, that we say Kabbalo Kach Polto. Now, let's assume for a moment that we pass on the Hakel, either like the Mishnah Berurah or the Shach. So, L'chora then, there would be no reason to kasher the handle, right? If you hold like the Ra'ah, you don't have to worry about kashering the handle because, yeah, it's true, Blios might have spread into the handle when he used it, but if they spread into the handle, they'll spread out of the handle. And if you learn like the Shach, so then, assuming we're talking about an issue of Bishol, they won't travel. Now, it could even be the Rashba would agree in a handle to be Mako if it's not Miksha, meaning to say many pot handles, except for really chashuv pots, are just screwed on, right? They're a separate piece that's attached. In which case, also, you could say, you know, in Belia Yotze Mikli al Kli Bela Rotev, so they couldn't travel even according to the Rashba, whereas if you held like the Rashba and it's a handle that's actually connected in a more as a single unit, so then certainly you would have to kosher the handles. So what if you had, even according to the Rashba, what if the handle didn't get hot? So then there'd be more reason to be Mekel, unless you hold like that Rabbi Kibager, who says we say Chanuk Tesel Chankulo even when it's cold, right? So that's the first possible reason to have to kosher handles. But it's also a very strong case could be made that you don't have to kosher handles based off of that reason. Is there another reason to kosher handles? So yes, that's the next sugya. The Gemara Psachim and Daf Lamed Amud Beis says, Amar Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yoshua, Eitz Parur, Magilo Beroschin, Uvekli Rishon. So the Mordechai writes over there, Simon Tav Kofayin Zayin, Afilo Beis Yad. Oh. And the Shulchan Aruch, and the Sif Yud Beis cites that. Take a look. Tafnan Aleph Yud Beis.
Sif Yud Beis.
Kol HaKelim Tzarech LaHagil Yedoseihem Kamosam. So the Rama says B'diavet Haga Mihu Imlo Higilo Ein Lesser B'diavet. Afilu Chatchila Yachal HaGilo Alidei Iroi Shemari Aleihem. So Rama here has two kulas. Number one, only L'Chatchila not B'diavet. Number two is Iroi is going to be good enough. So what's the basis of this Chumra? So the Bach has two possible explanations. The Taz over here, Sif Katan Yud Zayin, writes that the Iker is because we're concerned with dirt. Meaning to say, Lamaisa, when I'm cooking things, they might splatter from other pots, and my hands might be dirty when I touch the pots, or if I use mittens, or whatever it is. That's basically the concern. In other words, it's not the concern that we said based off of the Marzvachim and the Rashba about Blios transferring from the food inside of the pot, but really this is a concern based off of exposure coming from the outside. And the Darkei Moshe sounds this way also a little bit in Siman Kufchaf Aleph Os Taz Zayin. In the name of the Isser V'Heter, he writes, Tov lahagil ha-yad, mepnei shenogin ba-kol ha-shana b'yadayim ha-luchlachos. The Mishnah Berurah writes this as well.
What's the concern? Dirt from the outside?
Either from other pots that are on the fire at the same time splattering on them, or because your hands are dirty when you touch the pot, the handle of the pot's hot. I'm making fleishiks, so my hand might have fleishiks on it. I'm making chametz, my hands might have chametz on it.
You don't wear a gullet then.
Well, assuming that the handles of the pots are hot, that's a lettuce bow. Right? The truth is that you're right, that my gloves, right, are splattering. Okay. Remember, handles of pots do, even, I mean, in the olden days, I think they probably always got hot. But nowadays, a lot of times we have a more heat-resistant, well, no, they could have used wood. Now we have more heat-resistant handles, but even then, depending on the placement of the pot, oftentimes the handles get very, very hot. Mm-hmm. But your hands might be dirty, or if you're touching them with gloves, your gloves might be dirty, or there might be splattering, and things like that. In other words, we're not concerned, according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Rama, from Blios from within, but traveling from without. If you look at the Magen Avraham over here, though, he says, no, we are choshesh from Blios being mefapeh b'cholakli. Again, that's Magen Avraham l'shitasim, that we're concerned with traveling Blios. One way traveling Blios, going out or up or the like. And therefore, he thinks that you would need to kasher the whole thing. If you look at the Magen Avraham, it sounds like he's even machmir by kliyot. It's not clear if this relates to chamek tasulchan kulo or not. Anyway, so obviously, there's a lot of nafkaminas between the two different reasons given for kashering a handle. For example, maybe if the reason for kashering the handles is because of chamek tasulchan kulo, so it only apply to a metal handle. Not a wooden handle, let's say, or a plastic handle. If you think that the reason is because of dirt, so let's say you trafed up your pot once by accident, you put the wrong type of spoon into it or whatever it is, so you know that the handle is still kosher, other than that in that case there would be no need to kosher the handle because it's only concerned for dirt. This time you know there was no dirt. Another nafkamina would be if you think the concern with is traveling blios, like the Magen Avraham, the Rashba, so then you could make a strong case that if the handle is not a single unit, it's not miksha, but it's just bolted on, so then it would be mutter, because in kli, maflit, mikliel, kli, blarotav, this is two kalim. So the Raman, Sif Yud Beis, like we said, paskins, lemaisa, that there's only l'chatzchila, not b'diaved. And that's explained by a number of the Achronim, including the Mamar Mordechai, cited by the Mishnah Berurah, that because really we think the reason is only because of a chashash for a nitzotzos and the like, and b'diavad we're mekel.
Yeah. I'm going to the second reason. Wouldn't the shach say yadosav pat afan? Or if you do hagala?
What do you mean the second reason?
Yeah, even within the second reason, I'm worried about dirt or mitzotov. So if you do hagala to the main part of the pot, nonetheless, it would still, right, because the aura, everything would be.
No, we won't be makel that way. What you could say is, look, you don't have to be worried that they would transfer. In other words, even if it doesn't, right, it's not, it could be that, let's say, it's dirt, right? So even if it's dirt, so, okay, the Hagala won't work, but it's still not going to answer anything else if you don't think Leos travel, right?
No, once
you're. Why do you have to, just because there's dirt in these handles, they absorbed whatever, chametz. How's that going to get into my food if I don't kosher it? Right? So if you think Bleos swim, fine. But if you think Bleos don't swim, then why would it be a problem?
The shah who says that either or it does swim.
So then you're saying that would be a problem because, let's say, the pot handle is exposed to ore, and that causes the Bleos to swim. Yeah, no, could be.
First reason is Maisa, we pass in Chumra.
So Maisa, we pass in like the Rama. You should kasher the handles like the Iroi, Bukhathiva.
I thought the Rama, we said, is Mikola, you don't need to do the handle. That's why he says
no.
Two kulas.
The Rama is two kulas, but the Avet, it's mutter. It doesn't ask you food if you didn't do the handle. And also, he allows you to kasher it on
the
Iroi.
Like the Ra.
Yeah, but we have the other concern. Which is, what about the dirt? The dirt.
The
Rama mentioned it in Darkei Moshe. In Darkei Moshe.
He
says over here, you have to kosher the handles. Rama doesn't disagree. He says, you have to kosher the handles. Why? In light of what he said.
It's only the
Chachila? It's a chash that it is Mekar Adin because of this chash of dirt.
I'm just saying, the first reason
it's a chumra.
Because the first reason is
yeah. Correct. He paskins like the Ra'ah, but he still says you have to kasher the handles, presumably because of dirt, which is what he says in Darkei Moshe. Right? L'chatchila. Okay. As I said, usually when you kasher pots, when you do it the normal way, by just sticking the whole thing into the bigger pot, so then obviously you'll have fully kasher the handles, l'chaladeus. Okay. Fine. Sinks. How do you kosher your sink? So, before we talk about how you kosher your sink, we'll talk about what if you can't kosher your sink. For example, you have a porcelain sink. Right? You have a porcelain sink. So, so in that case, I would have thought, like say for Pesach or the like, most of the poskim say you'd need to get a basin or something like that. So I saw Rav Avadia's mekel. It's in Chazon Avadia on Pesach Amad Kufnan Aleph. Why? So he throws in a whole bunch of things, some of which are a little questionable. But number one, Rov Tashmishu B'mayim Chamin She'ena Yatza Lettuce Bo. Wow. In other words, we'd say Rov Tashmishu even in that case. Number two, Tashmishu B'Shayimos Hashana Bizman Shachametz Mutter Ledas Rov Aposkim It's a Terrible. And I didn't understand what that meant. Because, oh, I see what he's saying, I suppose. That's interesting. Say it's a terabal, we still need a kasher. But he's saying if it's terabal, then we'll be makel to allow you to be machsher klicheres. Which is interesting. Okay. Number, I guess, I don't know what else we would need. Not sure. Number three, that you could be mitzarif, the positions at Iroi is kiklisheni. Right, machlokas rishonim. Now that's a big chiddush. It's one thing to say that for Bishul, but even for Blios. But it is such a view in the rishonim. The Ra'ah, fine.
Blios and Bishul go together according to.
According to one opinion in Tosfos, exactly. Number four, regilin l'shtamish bo al yedei sabon b'shar dvam hapogmin. Number five, so you should still do. Iroi Gimel Pa'amim B'mayim Roschin. We'll talk about why Iroi Gimel Pa'amim works, but we'll see when we get there that based off of Yerushalmi and the like, that how to understand Yerushalmi is a big machlokas, but that you might be able to do Iroi Gimel Pa'amim Hargala Gimel Pa'amim B'Kli Chares, and that would work in certain types of Yisurim D'Rabbanan. And once you've done that, then that works. So even though I think that's not the minag, I think among Ashkenazim, but there is such a shita.
What's Pshat Rav Tashmisho? I didn't understand. Would you do some form of Hechsher still?
No. He's saying that Rav Tashmisho Idei Hatter doesn't need Hechsher.
Wow.
Right. That's a big Chedesh.
That's definitely not the interpretations that we had of Shatter and Vasi.
Well, no, it's not like a lot of them, but you know, you sort of see that, let's say, by cups. It's not true. Right? What do the Rishonim say by cups that are made for Rav Tashmisho? The cups are usually used bitzonim. Uh-huh. Sometimes they're used b'chamin.
Ashkenazim are machmir for that.
It's true. It's true, Ashkenazim are machmir. But I'm saying that's a similar idea.
Well, the machaber himself says Rav Tashmisho for being for kasher.
Yeah.
So the rabbis go with machaber.
Yeah, that's what he said. Okay. But let's assume we're going to say, no, you do have to kasher your sink. So how do you kasher your sink? So how does a sink become treif or chametz stick? So what do you say?
How
a direct hit. Iroi, so good. Iroi shalom nifsak even. Right? Yeah. You get up. Iroi shalom nifsak. Great. Right? I go ahead and I'm straining my spaghetti. Oh. So therefore, you should be able to kasher it for Iroi with Iroi. Right? Kabolo kachboto. And that's what the velt mostly does. Now, what about the faucet? That's actually an issue. Zaya. Right? Let's say I'm straining spaghetti. So, when I do that, like, big plume of steam comes out of the pot, right? If you're wearing glasses, you won't be able to see what you're doing. And exactly. And so that's going to come onto the bottom half of your faucet. So, first of all, it might. And second of all, it might have even started off as yatzo lettuce bow. It's even worse. Even according to Ray Willard, this would be a problem. Because my faucet is yatzo lettuce bow all the time. If I just washed hot water or something with hot water, well, let's talk about Heitz sinks now, old-fashioned sinks with like metal faucets, right? If you touch your faucet after you've run yatzo lettuce bow for a minute, after you've run hot water for a minute, it's already yatzo lettuce bow. And the zeya is yatzo lettuce bow coming up from your spaghetti. Remember, it's much closer than even your face. Like, your face gets that plume of steam, but the faucet's a lot closer to the spaghetti than your face.
Pouring the hot water on the spaghetti? Or you pour the
No. When you put a colander in your sink,
yeah.
You dump a pot of spaghetti into the colander, which is full of water, hot water and spaghetti, and then rising from that pot is steam that goes up and hits the bottom of your faucet.
Why is the faucet hot?
Because you just used it 10 seconds ago for hot water.
Something else, okay.
Yeah.
But what are we worried is going to happen after the faucet becomes not kosher?
What? No, I'm saying, how do you kasher your faucet for Pesach? I just told you, you go ahead and you did Iroi. You said you could do Iroi for the sink. Great. So I do Iroi for the sink. I know how to do that. I take a pot of boiling water, and I very carefully do Iroi, shalom nifsak, kakiluach, you said, on every spot of the sink.
What are we worried it's going to touch the faucet?
You mean the chametz on Pesach? Yeah.
Next day,
when you do your boiled potatoes, right? So you're doing all of Pesach. You're straining boiled potatoes. Right?
So what? The water's not touching the outside.
Zeya. Good. We were worried about Zeya going up and down.
Well, up and down. Huh?
Right. Also, when you put hot water on
your sink, it touches it. Right? Rabi is a much more pashut thing. When I run hot water through my sink, it's now chametz stick of water because there's blios of spaghetti.
I didn't do hagala the first time. Or
what?
It should either do hagala or...
I didn't do hagala.
That goes right back to...
If you want to do hagala, that's fine. No, how did it go? If you do hagala on your faucet, that's obviously going
to
work. Right? That's actually what I do, hagala on my faucet.
True,
I just unscrew my faucet and put it in a pot of boiling water. Happens to be very easy with Heitz faucets, like we said, because they won't spend any money on anything.
But wouldn't the water going through it be enough?
No, because that's not the way it went in.
Can you
take a bowl of kakpot, you don't even have the ra. How did the chametz get in through Zeya?
I think this should be better than that.
No, this is not Hagala. This is Iroi.
can you pour a massive thing of hot water?
So what you're saying is this is the pashtus, is what people rely on, which is they say, so kabolak palto on zeya. When I go ahead and I kosher my sink through Eroy, so there's plumes of steam coming up. Up and up and up. You also, then when you kosher your sink also, you got to remember to take off your glasses. Because then you really get, and you always forget till it's too late. You can't see what you're doing, but the problem is you have to look what you're doing, because you have to make sure that you hit, you know, all the spots.
If you take off your glasses, you also can't see.
Yeah, that's the issue. You need to get, like, goggles with the, you know, with the windshield wipers.
Prescription goggles.
With windshield wiper goggles.
I have it there.
Oh, with windshield wiper. There you go. So, it's just another raya. You should get contacts. So you're saying kabolo kachpoto. It went out through steam, and we'll do it both ways, right? You'll pour the hot water, will go through it, and then plus you'll have kabolo kachpoto on steam. That's what the velt is making. Lamaisa, what you should try to do in addition is by, like, if you don't want to do maichat. Maichat's the best chap, which is just to throw it in the pot. No, it's very easy if you have a simple sink.
Really,
the fancier sinks... I meant maichat is to just unscrew it and put it in the pot of oil. That will for sure work. Some say you should take off the aerator for Pesach, because they're worried that you're not supposed to kosher things with small holes in it like a sieve. I don't know, I thought that was a big chiddush. But that's what I saw some poskim say. But anyway...
Why is using Zay, like, why is that being made? Like, why isn't that just...
How do you know it's the same amount of Zaya?
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, so we don't say that. No, it's when we're dealing with clear-cut forms of kashrus, like Hagala, we know that applies. When we're dealing with made-up forms of kashrus, like Zaya, so we're not going to readily be so confident that that's true.
But that's true just as much as no.
But yeah, so but if you wanted to do that, yeah. But how do you know it's the same amount? So if you want to rely on this, which maybe you could, then what you should do is make sure that your faucet is maximally hot when you do this. In other words, run hot water through the faucet, right. So the faucet starts off as hot as it will be, and then combine that with the Zayin. Now, if you're going to rely on this, so you have to remember to do the following, which you might forget, which is to move the faucet on top of the sink. You see, naturally, when you're doing Eroi to kasher the sink, what are you going to do? You're going to move your faucet all the way to the side so it doesn't get in your way when you're doing your Eroi. And then when you go to the other side of the sink, you're going to move it all the way to the other side, and then you will have lost your chance to do Hechsher through Zaya. So you have to do it. As I said, Rabbi Willig recommends trying to do the upward Eroi. I don't know. He only thinks it's dangerous.
Upward Eroi?
Why do you just do downward Eroi?
Because how are you going to get the bottom of the faucet?
The faucet, and then you're going to get the bottom part.
Right?
Where does the water go? Into the
No, it just comes right back down. I didn't think it was dangerous.
No, because you do it...
I mean, you know.
Hatzala is very busy.
Right. So, yeah.
My neighbor's not Hatzala.
Right.
It's
from a pot to the bottom of the sink. Bottom of the faucet.
Once you're using the pot, why can't you just stick the pot?
So, if you could, as much as you could get in, you could do it that way. But that doesn't help you a lot of times with the whole thing. But this is a kula, because we said before that when you have Washington Heights sinks, it's easier because you can just unscrew it and put it in your pot. But if you don't have Washington Heights sinks, then you may very likely have a sink attached to a hose. And then you just stick it in the pot, and then it's easy. Then you could do it in a Kli Rishon Mamish. So you're only stuck when you're, like, in between. You're fancier than Washington Heights, so you can't unscrew it easily. But you're not fancy enough to have a hose. So it's only...
This is a clear reason to only ever straight things into the shower, right?
The bathtub where you keep your car.
So then you get kosher porcelain.
All right.
Rebbe, if someone...
Fine. Enough Matzias. Let's go on. What? Yes.
Someone didn't kosher their, what's it called, their faucet before Pesach.
No. Okay.
Those are the socks.
The socks is a different thing. That's because they're filtering. They're worried about hummus coming out of the They're worried about chametz coming out of their faucet, yeah.
What are you doing?
No, you would drink it.
Oh,
it's
not
Borer. It goes into the halachic shayla of Borer, right? The Chopapan Borer. Yeah, yeah. It's not for us now. No, those are for medium people in Eretz Yisrael. They're not like the briskers. That are worried about, right. So they don't use the water from, they don't put the water in the garbage cans, but they are still choshesh, even though I've never seen a crumb fall out of my sink. But you never know what will happen on Pesach. All those Rishayim that are so those are the people that put the socks at the end of their sink. That's what they're doing. If you've seen that, I've seen that.
Once
we
do it.
Once, yeah.
And, well, yeah. Why send off the thing about mashu?
A mashu that will get through the holes in the sock. They're not worried about that. They're worried about a loaf of bread coming out.
I'm saying, they're worried about a crumb. Why aren't they worried about like less than a crumb?
Less than a crumb, it's bottle in a million. We talked about that before. Why don't you say, especially in Muncie, there's more room to be made. It's gaimu in the water. Eretz Yisrael, Epis, the Kinneret. Okay, fine. We don't use a sock.
It's a different
clip. It's, well, you know, if you don't have enough shaylas, manishtana, you know, why is there a sack on the sink? Fine. Now, once we're on the topic of Hagala al Yedei Zeyah, so as I alluded to the fact that this is a sort of a made-up category of Hechsher, but Rav Moshe, Siyardei Chilak Alef Siman Samech, and the Minchas Yitzchak and other poskim, are makel only when the blios were al yedei zeya, based off of the prichadash and kibolo kach polto. So, when does this come up most commonly with respect to the microwave? What's the theory for those who kasher microwaves? You know, when they do that thing where you put in a cup of hot water and then you boil it for 10 minutes or whatever it is. So the theory behind that is, look, how did the walls or the roof of the microwave become chametz stick or treif? Through Zeya. So, kabol lo kach polto. Now, if you think that... Oh, we'll get there in a second. That's an excellent point. Now, if you think that you don't kosher plastic on Pesach, we'll talk about koshering plastic soon, then it won't work. But if you think you do kosher plastic on Pesach, or you have a stainless steel microwave or the like, then it would work. So, what objections could you add to this? So one objection is what you just said, which is there's splattering. And it might even, depending on where it is in the microwave and whether it could be reached by the rays, it could, you know, be treated like a kli rishon mamish. And then maybe Zeya doesn't work. And that's one reason to be machmir. As I mentioned to you before, Rabbi Willig is not so into koshering microwaves unless you don't really need to kosher it.
Unless you really need to.
No, unless you don't really need to kosher it. So if you go ahead, like I said, you go ahead and you test your microwave. You test your microwave, meaning to say you go and you cook something for as long as you'd ever cook it. And then you open up the microwave, as soon as you can, you touch the top of the microwave with your hands. And you see that it's not at all Yatzel Edispo. So then, not like Shmuel's microwave. So then you don't really need a kosher microwave. So it's okay to kosher it. There's no very blios, and they're never going to come out.
It's not going to be as
well.
So the food is hot and splattered onto the wall.
How's it going to come out?
Because there's a cover.
No, even if without a cover, how's it going to get into my food? Let's say the wall. Now, this won't help for the tray. Tray is much more schwer because things spill, and they mamish continue to cook on the tray, right? And it's like mamish cooking, right? I made oatmeal the other day, so I must have left it in too long. Mamish chametz, a bowl of oatmeal, so it boiled over and it was on the glass on the bottom, and the mamish, you know, continued to boil on the glass directly, right? So we don't kosher a microwave for Pesach, it's not a problem. But that would be very problematic to kosher. So we'll talk about kashering glass in general. Do you need a kasher glass, or Ashkenazim or Machmi, or had a kasher glass? You know, if you think you could kasher glass, so then you could put your whole tray into a big pot. But this chap, l'chora, you know, the chap of the steam doesn't necessarily work. I would think that if someone is koshering their microwave for Pesach, they should just take out the tray. Either, you know, not use the tray, so your food might not get even enough. Our tray has been broken for a long time also, which might explain the tray's still there, just doesn't, the spinner stopped working, which might explain why the oatmeal boiled over. Half of it boiled over and the other half wasn't even cooked. if you just want to do it for Pesach, and I don't necessarily recommend kashering a microwave for Pesach, but if you did, you could just take out your glass, and if you didn't want to use it without a tray, you know, take a piece of styrofoam, cut out the shape of your glass, and put it there instead, or something like that, and replace it. Yep. Rav Willig does not like koshering a microwave that actually needs to be koshered. I'm talking about not the walls, not the tray.
Which means that he says...
But it happens to me, most microwaves, the walls and the roof doesn't really become hot.
So for those, he says...
So then, if you want to kosher it the way people recommend koshering microwaves, it's okay.
But do you need to kosher it?
Yeah, no, you know, certainly for... You should kosher it.
But it doesn't get that hot, right?
Yeah, you don't really need a kasher, so therefore we'll let you get away with the shvacha kashering. Fine. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch, Sif Zayin, quotes a minhag to wash the kli out with cold water after the Haggalah. So what's the reason for this? If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Lamed Daled, he writes, so it won't reabsorb the hot water that is on top of it that has in it Platas Chametz. And that's what the Torah writes in the name of the Tshuvas Rashi. Now, practically speaking, this is a little strange, because since we're always machmir to do Haggalah with Shishim or Eino Ben Yomo, or both, so you shouldn't really have to worry. Zalzain, it gets reabsorbed. What are you worried about? If you're trying to do the chapi form of Haggalah, where you take it out right in that sweet spot when it's mifla palat mifla lobala, so obviously this is a very important thing to do. But if you do Haggalah the way we do it, it's not so clear why this chashash would be relevant. Now, there is another reason, which is cited in Taisus and Avodah Zarah, in Bava Med Aleph, Dimaschal Mikan, that it's a minag dumya de klei mikdash to remember zecher l'meriko l'shtifa.
He says zecher.
I don't know. That was my lashon, I think. But it's a minag. In other words, what's interesting about this reason is if you look at the Rambam, he mentions this in Pesach, but not in Machalos Asuros. Maybe he thinks that the minhag is, you know, to be mekayim et dumya de kachim for hetera bala, right? So when you're kashering for Pesach, Rambam, as we said, presumes that the chametz is hetera bala. You know, maybe you should do it for milchik sefleshik then also. But the hachsher kalim for Pesach for the Rambam is dumya de kachim. So that's when we have this practice of doing it. Fine, if you can't, you know, we try to do this, but when it's not convenient, then, and oftentimes it's not, then I think it's not such a big deal.
Well, but you say it very we do sometimes. Yeah.
Washing it with cold water.
Yeah.
Okay.
The way the Rashba says doesn't sound more than a safer.
What do you think from the Rashba? What was your impression?
Because then that's why,
What's the reason?
Is the Rashba?
What's the reason?
Because that's how you get Blios out of things.
Right, but that's my question. You mean the Blios won't even come out in the first place without doing it?
Yeah.
But we know the Blios come out without that.
Well, so why do you do it by Kachem?
Kshiras HaKasav.
So that's what the Ra'an responds.
Right, you're saying the Rashba sounds like...
The reason why it's Kshiras HaKasav is because...
Because it's necessary.
Well,
because other, right, another Debliyos won't come out. Yeah,
and
I hear.
Of course, he's like quotes the Gemara straight. It's not like a...
Yeah, no, I hear. I hear. Lamaisa, you're saying that, that's...
Cold water takes Debliyos out?
It's the combination of cold, hot water followed by cold water that does it, right?
Like those desserts.
Okay, fine. If you want some practical advice about how to kosher things, I'm not going to go through practical advice now, but there's a nice video on the CRC website. There's two videos. On one from Rabbi David Cohen on the more interesting shilas, and one by somebody else on the more practical ways, like, you know, it's nice if you want to see some of the practical things, Ayin Sham.
Pesach.
It's really mostly for both, though. It's much more common for Pesach. You know, things like, things that you should know, like you should dry your sink before you kosher it so that the hot water, cold water doesn't cool down the hot water, and other things like that. Okay. Okay, let's talk about, I guess this will have to be our last thing, and we'll finish up tomorrow, no problem. Our last thing for today is Shulchan. So it says in Sifchaf, in Simen Tafnan Aleph, HaShulchanos V'Atevos, Shematznim Behen Ochlin Kol Hashana, Regilin Laros Alayhem, Roschin, Lefi Shelifamim Nishbach Marak, Menakader L'Saychan. Good. So you have to kosher your shulchanos, because sometimes things spill on them. Like you know, you take out soup from the stove and might spill on the table. Fine. Now it's Yirui Kli Rishon, correct? Yirui Kli Rishon. Now, therefore, l'chora Yirui should be enough, right? If the Iroi should be enough. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Goz Maimonios, an additional concern that sometimes a Pashtida falls on them, and therefore the Marivayel writes, quoted by Chok Yaakov, Nunhei, that since Pashtida sometimes falls on it, so then Dino Kikli Rishon, and Iroi won't be enough, you need an Evan Milubenis. And the Mishnah Berurah also quotes this, if Kadin Kufya Dalad, quotes the Marivayel, that you need, Iroi is not enough.
We're saying because of Gush?
Ah, exactly. Meaning to say that if you're Choshesh for Davar Gush, so then you'll need an Evan Milubenis. And the idea of Evan Milubenis is already quoted in the Ramah. Now the Ramah quotes it in terms of Karos Gedolos, that you can't fit into a Kli Rishon. If you go back to Sifrag, it's a different context. He writes over there, the Karos Gedolos shelo yuchal lahachnis toch kli rishon, yitein aleihem even meluban. So what does that mean? You heat up a stone to be really hot, v'yera aleihem roschen, and then you pour boiling hot water on this hot stone, mekli rishon. V'habik kli rishon, because you can't do iroy on this because it was bala alidei kli rishon. But you can't fit it into a Kli Rishon, and I guess you don't want to do Libun Kal. So what you're going to do is put the Evan Melubin on it, and then pour the boiling hot water onto the Evan Melubin. V'havik a Kli Rishon. V'chein kukav zeh. This creates something like Kli Rishon. What's the idea? Because the Evan Melubin is so hot that it causes the water that hits it to boil on this new surface. It's not Iroi anymore. It's actually Kli Rishon. Because the source of heat is here. So that's the way this works. So again, the Ramah quotes it in this context. He doesn't talk about it in terms of Shulchanos. But basically, if you follow the view of the Marshal for Dover Gush, right? So let's say spaghetti or noodles fell onto my table right from the pot. It's Dover Gush. So now my table, and we'll see many poskim say same thing for counters. Counters are like tables, so some hot pizza from the oven, or spaghetti, or quiche, or whatever it is, goes onto my counter. So then, Iroi will not be enough to kosher my counter. I'm going to need the Evan Melubenis. Now, not everybody is so excited about Evan Milibanis. If you look at the Magen Avraham and the Taz over here, Taz writes, was it Magen Avraham? The Bach was not into this, and he says that you should be machmir. Bach kasev de lo havei kekli rishon, like the Ramah says, lo mahani rak be kankanim bekosos, that anyway don't need kli rishon. The Magen Avraham writes, v'yesh lachmir bekosh, yesh lahem ognayim uvlitos ke'en kaftorim, sh'az yevsher lahavir haven al pnei kulam. Evan Meluban works on a flat surface, but if there's prachim, so it doesn't help. And ein lahem takana ad sheyachnisam liyora. So you pick up your counter and put it into a pot. Fine. Now,
what else would you do?
Well, we'll talk. Don't worry.
Why are we
What?
That the Ramahs make
on. Yeah, the Ramah would not hold of this for counters or tables.
We usually are make on.
We
go into Ramah, yeah. We go to the Ramah.
So we'll talk about that in one moment. Right now, we just mentioned the Mishnah Berurah and Meir Vayel Nechok Yankef. The Mishnah Berurah was no small pup, right? The Mishnah Berurah Yidden. No. Okay. Okay, that was the other day. So anyway, so the question is: so are we machmir for this? So, Lemaisa, for sure will be Mako B'di'eved. Why? Because you, like Shmuel just said, B'di'eved, we are not Choshesh for the Maharshal. Great. The Prima Gadim is Mako B'makom Hefsid Miruba. Mishnah Berurah says maybe if it's Rov Tash Mishaloy Digdavar Gush, that's another Tzad Lahakel.
It's a counter. Rov Tash Mish is not with any of this.
Okay.
So how do you do it?
Most direct counter, direct contact between food and the way the counter is used. Yeah, it's not clear. So halacha lemaisa, what do we say? So the velt around here does iroy on their counters, right? Tablecloth. We'll talk about tables soon, but tables happen to be much easier. We don't kosher our tables. We just put on a new tablecloth. If you want to put on two tablecloths, you could do that. You could put on a plastic tablecloth and then a cloth tablecloth, and all that's very easy for tablecloths. The question is counters. How do you kosher your counter? So we ask the Mishnah Berurah. Let's assume for a moment you have a type of counter that can be koshered. Granite counter. And you're not worried about the plastic sealant and all those things. We'll talk about that next time. So your makel, you're going to kosher your counter. So if you ask the Mishnah Berurah, what do you need? An Evan Meluban. So how do you get an Evan Meluban? So now everything is easy. I saw, from the same company that makes the toothbrushes that you could use on Shabbos and Shabbos lamps and all the wonderful inventions, pre-cut toilet paper. So they also have Evan Meluban with a handle now.
Wow.
It makes it much easier. It's basically a brick with a handle glued onto it. So you put your brick into the oven, and you make it very hot, or onto the stovetop. You heat up your brick, and then you just slide it along, pouring your boiling hot water. And, of course, the easiest thing to do is use an iron, assuming you don't get killed in the meantime. You don't get electrocuted. I've heard people say they've used irons.
Pouring water?
Yeah. You pour the water on first, and then you iron it on top, and that causes the water to boil. Your iron anyway is meant for liquids, right? Steam comes out. I don't recommend this at home, by the way.
Those bricks are very dangerous.
Bricks?
Yeah, because it shoots out at you.
The hot water?
Yeah, when you pour water on it, it shoots out.
Well, you could first pour water on the counter and then put the brick on top of it. Not the way the Ramah says it, but the way you do it.
I'm saying in Baltimore every year.
A lot of people who get burned.
She does it in her sinks.
Oh, we'll talk about
people
sinks.
People do it in their sinks and they get messed up.
So we'll talk about sinks in a moment. It's the same Shiloh sinks.
Why can't you just put your plastic over your
Yeah, that's if you're normal, you cover your counters. That's what I do. I just get corrugated plastic and you cover your counters and the like. The problem is that you have these people that spend $17,000 on their fancy granite counters top so they could kosher them for Pesach. So if you tell them that they have to cover their counters for Pesach, they'll say, well, why did I bother with this? So usually those people go to hotels anyway, so it's not a shalom. But every so often it comes out to be a shaila. So you do an Evan Meluban. Some people told me they use steam throwers. Steamers. Now, you can't be mako on steam because the steam itself, right, we said you don't say kabolo kapolto. For steam itself, no, like the things you use to get the creases out of your suit. Steamers. So, but you need like an industrial steamer because we're not mako for steam. But if the steam is hot enough to cause the water to boil on the surface of the counter, then that's good enough. Anyway, I don't. That's also usually for industrial people. So that is the reason for the Mekilim. So the Machmirim say you need to do an Evan Meluban. The Mekilim say, no, Iroi is good enough. That's what you thought, until you speak to Rabbi Willig. Willig says, you don't have to kasha your counter. Why do you have to kasha your counter? We don't eat off our counters. When the Shulchan Aruch is talking about kashering your tables, they used to eat off their tables. We don't eat off our counters. We don't eat off our tables. You don't need to kasher it. Happens to be that in the Willig home, they do cover their counters on Pesach. But what?
People don't eat off their counter if you drop
something
on the counter.
Don't eat off your counter if you drop something hot on it on Pesach. The Eilam is machmir on that shaila.
Is this similar to like you don't need to separate between baser and chalav on your counter?
Yeah, if people who are used to keeping their counters as straight the whole year, right? So they're used to it. Especially if you kept your counters as kosher the whole year. You had a milcha counter and a fleisha counter. So then maybe you'll say, I'm going to accidentally eat the labadaite.
Right.
But let's say, anyway, the whole year long,
we do that.
You treat your counter as treif, right? Because you live in Washington Heights. You anyway have 2.5 square feet of counter in your whole kitchen. So it's not shayach to have the milcha or fleisha counters. So if you're treating your counter as treif, so then you never eat off of it. Okay, right here it's worse here, where usually it's Enu Ben Yomo and Pesach, where more Machmir and the like. But Willig thinks that it's not an eating surface, Mikra, then you don't have to kasher it. The minhag is to kasher it. I think anybody I know kashers it, or just covers it. We'll talk about tomorrow, whether it can be kasher and the like. So only in Eretz Yisrael do they kasher and cover. But if you look at like the deer shoe and you see all the Eretz Yisrael that the Paiskin build, they do both. Now, just one point. The same thing is true for sinks. In other words, if you're machmir for the marshal, the marival and the like, then you're also not going to be mako for sinks for Iroi, right? What's going to happen? My spaghetti, which is a gush, fell directly onto the sink, and then on Pesach a potato is going to fall onto the sink and the like. So you need Evan Meluban on sinks. This many more people do. How do you do an Evan Meluban on the sink? So the easiest way to do it is to, like, I know Rabbi Schwartz, for example, uses a deadbolt lock. So again, I think Mikra didn't wear Mako on the Shaila. And you could do Iroi on the sink, and like you said, Shmuel, we pass them like the Ramah, and Iroi is enough, and we're not choshev davar gush, and anyway, you don't eat really out of your sink so much, and there's a lot of room for leniency. But if you want to be Machmir, so Schwartz puts a deadbolt lock in his, which is something that's a lot of very dense, into the oven. It gets very hot. He fills up the sink about halfway with boiling hot water. He doesn't do it the whole way because then it's not hot enough to boil, but you could be mako for the upper half of the sink anyway, you know, for Iroi. No, you'll do Iroi for the upper half of the sink, the bottom half, and then you put this Aven Milubanes into the sink and it starts to boil. Other people have told me they put, you could use a blowtorch, of course, but you just want to make sure you spread the heat evenly so you don't warp your sink. The other thing you could do is, somebody told me that they do sturgeons. What do they call it? Sternos? Those things that they use at the smorgs.
Can
burners.
Sterno heater?
Sternos. Yeah, so they put sternos under their sink. In other words, you open up the counter under the sink, you put three sternos, you fill it up with hot water, and then starts boiling. So anyway, it should be remembered what the Yoni warned us at the beginning of this year, that you don't want to have to call Hatzalah on when you're kashering your kitchen, and safety first and the like. Especially, just to be mosif, I think what the Velt does is they're mako for Iroi, but what they do is they put a rack on the bottom of their sink for Pesach. And that way, anyway, you're usually okay. So you use, if you use it, that's what we do. We have sink racks. For the rest of the year, we don't use a rack just for parav, because we have a milchik sink and a fleishik sink. But on Pesach, we kasher it, and then we use racks. And that's what we do. But, okay. fine. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. So I'm giving Yichud Shir at 9 a.m. and maybe I'll finish by 10:30. So why don't we have Shir 10:30 a.m. tomorrow?
Marathon.
Till you'll finish by taste, I hope. No, we'll finish by noon.